1 Corinthians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, these sobering yet true words that we read this morning. I pray that you'd work upon our hearts and our lives this morning as Pastor Johnson comes and preaches from this text today. God, use thy word to help us. We need help today. Whether we know it or don't know it, we always need your help. God, open our eyes and our hearts to these truths that will be preached and our need for help today from you. Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. And Father, if there's somebody out in the audience this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray before they leave today they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we always give the cell phone warning. That is, make sure it is turned off or to vibrate, please. Do not fool around with your phone and do anything but check your Bible if you use it for that. Otherwise, make sure it is off. Otherwise, you get the holiday curse placed upon you. Now, the holiday curse is this. If your cell phone goes off in the service and it is heard, every time you walk by your refrigerator, you will gain 5 pounds. And it'll last until New Year's. That's every day. So please help us and make sure that you turn your cell phone off. Some of you folks have to take an exorcism to get you to leave your cell phone alone for a little few minutes, but it'd be good for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I need you to hold your Bibles open this morning. Now, if you're a clock watching Baptist, I have 60 seconds to preach the message this morning for us to be done by noon, and I'm going to do that. 60-second sermon, an hour and a half conclusion, but a 60-second sermon. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, would you look at that, please? Every man's work shall be made manifest. The Bible says, for the day. For the day, it says, shall declare it because it shall be revealed by fire. The day. Now, that last week we talked to you about the second coming of Christ, how that Jesus is coming very soon. That we got another 7 days in is amazing to me. Jesus Christ is returning to take his own up to be with him very soon. That's a wonderful thought today. But would you consider with me this morning what happens as soon as we go up to be with the Lord? The moment we leave this life, the Bible says there is an event that takes place immediately after the return of Christ for his own. And here in this particular passage, it is simply called the day. But we know what it is from other scriptures. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, don't turn there if you would, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 2 and verse 28, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Jesus Christ returns for his own. When he does, the saved on this earth are caught up together in an instant, and we meet the Lord in the air, the Bible says. Now, what we'd like to say is we return to heaven and it's happiness, joy, and bliss forever. And the truth of the matter is, it is happiness, joy, and bliss forever. But before all that begins, there is an event that takes place the moment we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We do return to heaven, but we return for examination. The Bible calls it the judgment seat of Christ. See, Pastor Johnson, I don't understand that. Let me read it to you again. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Remember, trump of God sounds, dead in Christ rise first, it says. Then we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, I heard a voice, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and I beheld a throne, and was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. The moment we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, we return to heaven. But the Bible says we go and stand before a throne. And over this throne there is a rainbow. Remember the rainbow? That was a picture of God's mercy and forgiveness after the flood, when he put the rainbow in the sky. And it's there every time there's rain now, to remind us that God will not destroy the world again by a flood. But the rainbow in heaven is to remind us this throne is an examination place, but it's a place where there's mercy. That's the judgment seat of Christ. So the moment we leave this life, the next instant we're standing before Jesus Christ, and the Bible says our life is going to be judged or examined. Now please listen very carefully. This examination could take place today. Since the return of Christ is imminent, since it could happen at any moment, that means this afternoon, you, my dear saved friend, could well be facing the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll be looking at your life. Now, we need to understand this judgment seat of Christ. We need to follow this carefully. That's why I need you to keep your Bibles open now as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. So we stand before him. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And let's get this picture, please. All of us appear. And then the Bible says in Romans 14 and verse 10 and 11, then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So it is a collective as well as an individual judgment. It's collective in the sense that every saved person will stand before Jesus Christ. All of us at one time. You say, that's going to be millions of people. I hope it is. I hope it's millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people. So collectively we're all gathered there, but then individually we come and stand before Jesus Christ and our life is examined. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now look at me. So that means you, my dear child of God friend, this morning, you have a one-on-one appointment with Jesus Christ, and he's going to look at your life. We need to know about this event, and we need to prepare for this event. We know about the second coming of Christ, and my goodness, how Christians got excited. Well, look at the eruption of amens when I said Jesus is coming again this morning. Just like right now. Yes, Jesus is coming again. Okay, I finally got you there. Thank you very much. I just don't want you to fall asleep before I get past the introduction, okay? Here's the point. We know he's coming again, and we're ready for that. If you're saved, you're going up. He's going to take you, and you're going to be with him. It's not how you live your life. It's your salvation that determines you going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So you're going up. That's wonderful. Now you're ready for the second coming of Christ, but are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? Now then what we need to do is look at this morning very carefully. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now and look at verse 13 again. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The judgment seat of Christ is a day of revelation. It's a day of revealing some things. Let me give those to you quickly this morning. Number one, it's a day that reveals that you are a saved person. Now listen very carefully. When you stand before the Lord, would you notice there in verses 10 through 12 that it is your works, 10, 12, and 13. Did you notice it's there, it is your works that is examined at the judgment seat of Christ? Did you see that statement? Look at it again with me very quickly now. It says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it, that's your works, shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now listen to me. Your soul is not judged. Your salvation is not judged. God does not get you to heaven, take your good works and your bad works, and if your good outweighs your bad, you get to go to heaven. That's not how it works. The fact that you are at the judgment seat of Christ reveals that you're a saved person. Just your presence, the fact that you get to be there. So may I say this morning, though, judgment is not something that's an exciting subject. This is a judgment you want to be at. You really want to be at this one, because this means you're a child of God. It means you're going to heaven. Nobody from the judgment seat of Christ goes to hell. Nobody does. And our work is judged, not our salvation, not our soul, but what we've done with our life from the day of that salvation that God gave us until that moment, that is what is judged. Every man's work shall be tried, the Bible says. So what is revealed at the judgment seat of Christ is you are a child of God because you're there. That's a wonderful thought this morning. So that means if the trumpet of God sounds this morning, we're going out the building, we get in our cars, and before you're run over by that crowd heading to hometown buffet, the trumpet of God sounds, you're caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and you see a rainbow throne, and He sits upon the throne with nail scars in His hands and His feet, and it's time to stand before Him. Breathe a sigh of relief, friend. That means you are a child of God. Now that's a judgment you want. You want to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Not something to fear, but it is something to be prepared for. It's something that we need to understand today, that we need to know and understand that it is ahead of us and we will face. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What is also revealed at this place of revelation is the quality of your life. Your life and why you lived it and what you lived it for is revealed there. Again, look at the verse very carefully, please. Look at verse 10 now. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, he's going to use a construction, a contractor term here. Master builder, we call him a contractor, as it were. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay. What he's going to do at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to take your life and he's going to look at it and he's going to determine what you built your life on. And the word foundation used three times here is key. You cannot build a proper structure without a proper foundation. You have to have it. I remember being in places in Africa where they built the houses out of mud bricks with dirt floors. And those buildings had all kinds of wahoo to them, and the roofs were crooked, and the things set funny. And when it rained, they had no doors or windows in these places, just openings for doors and windows. The water would rush into those houses and wash away the bricks, and the houses would fall down because they didn't have a proper foundation to them. You know something, dear people? When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, Christian, He's going to look at your life and He's going to tell you. By the way, you will notice that in any passage of Scripture, whether it's Romans 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Revelation chapter 4, 1 John chapter 2, or here in 1 Corinthians 3, you'll notice that we say nothing. He doesn't look at us and say, okay, tell me how you built your life. What'd you build your life on? He doesn't ask you that. He'll reveal it to you, what you built your life on. He'll say, now here's where he built his life. Here's what she built her life upon. And the Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now notice this verse, verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, six items, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Wait a minute. I always thought that meant you build the right stuff, you're on the right foundation, you're good. That is what it means, but it does mean this. You can build the wrong stuff on what you consider to be the right foundation. The gold, silver, precious stone, we're talking about a fiery judgment. That doesn't mean literal fire, it means examination. But if you take those six items, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, and you pass them through literal fire, you know what you have left? You have gold, silver, and precious stones. But if you build the right stuff on the wrong stuff on the right foundation after this examination, you have nothing left. At the judgment seat of Christ, what is revealed is, first of all, what did you build your life on? Did you build it upon Jesus Christ? That means He was your Savior. Good. Got all kinds of saved people today touting their Christian salvation. Wonderful. They got their fish bumper stickers. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. But their life above ground doesn't indicate that much. They have a salvation. They're going to heaven. Now, because you're not saved by works, you'll go to heaven when you're saved. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to go to heaven. But it's what's above ground that makes the difference in this life and in the next one too, by the way. So you go to heaven because you're saved and Jesus Christ is your Savior. But then what did you do with the salvation and the life that He gave you? Did you build your life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? That means Jesus is Lord. That means Jesus is God, Shepherd. That means you build your life upon Him, for Him, through Him, with Him. You follow His Word, and you're more than just somebody who says, I'm saved. You actually live like it. And at the judgment seat of Christ, He doesn't ask you, did you do that? At the judgment seat of Christ, He says, this is what you did. A pastor friend of mine built a multi-million dollar auditorium down in the Bay Area, and after it was all done and the final inspections were made and they were ready to occupy the building, somebody, I was going to say of intelligence, but that doesn't happen. Somebody in the building department came down and found that there was something wrong with the foundation. They had to tear out walls and dig down there and do all kinds of work after it was finished because somebody made a mistake in the foundation. But it came out when it was finished. Jesus is going to reveal what you build your life on. Now, friend, look at me. If you're a child of God, it's time to get serious about your Christian life. That means you take it with you when you go out of a church building somewhere. It's evident by what you do and how you conduct yourself. It's evident by how you live your life and the way you live your life. And you do this for the Lord Jesus Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is something you want to face. It's a judgment that reveals what you built your life upon. And it's a judgment that also reveals why you did what you did. Now look at this verse, please. Follow carefully. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how. See that word? How he buildeth thereupon. You ever get involved in a project around your house? Painting, remodeling. And when you're done, nobody else will notice it but you. But you see every flaw in the job. You see everything that wasn't just quite right. It drives me crazy. I like to do stuff, but I'll sit there when I'm done and I'll look at it and I'll go, man, that wasn't quite right. I'll see something nobody else will see, and then I have to look at it every day because it's in my house. And I have to see it all the time because it showed up when the project was completely done. And the how of what I did was revealed. Sometimes you get tired in a project and you think, drywall mud will cover that. Seen projects done before, you had to cut the side of a tube out of a tube of caulking that big and just stick it up there and kind of move, one of those jobs. Nasty. I don't do that myself personally, but I've seen that. I've walked in houses and seen floors that are crooked and walls that are not right, and you look down the hallway and one of these jobs. And you could tell they just didn't care how they did it. Look at me. The judgment seat of Christ, it will be revealed how you build on it. That's a couple of things. That's why. Why do you do what you do, Christian? Seriously, why? Well, I did this because I wanted so-and-so's approval. That'll be revealed there. We should live to please the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all and foremost. Live not to displease people as best we can, but live for His pleasure, first of all and foremost. Do you understand? A lot of Christians are coming to the judgment seat of Christ expecting to put their thumbs in their spiritual vest and talk about all the stuff they've done for God, and they're leaving with nothing because when they did what they did it so somebody would notice them. Somebody would pat them on the back. One thing we do in our church, and this is something simple, but one thing we do in our church when folks sing special music and stuff here, with the exception of our children, we don't clap when they're finished because it's not a performance. And you know something, dear people? You ought to do what you do just because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to honor Him with your life. And when you live that way, I guarantee you, you won't get a lot of pats on the backs here, but at the judgment seat of Christ, He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because why you did what you did will matter, and how you did it. If it was Sunday morning this morning and you woke up and you went, oh man, it's too cold to go to the lake and it's too far to get anywhere I want to go, I'll go to church. Yeah, put me in a little time, Get a little religion. Won't hurt me. Or if you start thinking, well, my DVR is broken and my football team's playing and God wouldn't want me to miss that game. We come to church and we sing the hymns that have nourished the people of God for centuries now. And we mumble like Methodists. We pray like Presbyterians when the truth is we're Baptists. We ought to sing like we really mean it. Everything, you understand how he buildeth thereon shows up. Hey, better than that, along with that, somebody gripes their whole entire life about their job. Monday, I hate Mondays. I have to go to my stinking job. And listen to me, if you don't want it, there are a lot of people who'd like to have it. You stay home. I know a bunch of folks who'd take it and be glad for the job you've got. So I suggest you zip it, okay? How we do what we do. Well, I have to go there. I have to take care of my family. I have to do this. And we gripe through our entire Christian walk. Excuse me. At the judgment seat of Christ, he says, oh, you grouchy smurfs out there needed to get this thing straightened out and you just lost everything. You lost all your rewards. You go to heaven, but you don't have anything when you get there. Because it's a day that reveals things. And he examines our works and our life and how we did what we did. The why and the what. And what's revealed also at the judgment seat of Christ is what you have left. Look at verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, the right foundation and the right way, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. The Bible says, yet so is by fire. Please remember this statement. It is not what you take to the judgment seat of Christ that matters. It's what you leave with that matters. Truckloads. Do you understand if it's millions of people, and it will be, millions of people at the judgment seat of Christ, it takes 7 years to examine all those people one at a time. 7 years. While the world's going through tribulation, we're in heaven with him. And at the end of that, we return already rewarded because the Bible says we're wearing white robes. So the rewarding time is already done. That means it takes 7 years to judge millions of people one at a time. Because it doesn't take long for him, the revelator, Jesus, to look at it and say, okay, Mike Johnson, come up here. Let's see what he did. Let's see why he did it. Okay, good. Well done, good and faithful servant. Next. Oh, let's see what she did. What? Okay, let's see. What was done there? There's nothing. Next. Everybody's going to heaven from here. But some are going to heaven with little or nothing, and some are going to heaven with more than they even possibly imagined. Do you remember those parables that Jesus taught about the master who goes away on a far journey and he leaves with his servants, in some cases money, literal amounts of money, 5, 2, and 1 talents. In some cases he left his servants in their charge. And when he came back, he examined them. At the end of those judgment parables, there's this statement Jesus often made, and that was this. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. At the judgment seat of Christ, you know what's revealed? Jesus comes back and says, now let's see here. Oh, Dr. Reverend Wigglelips, let's see what you did. Oh, you attacked the Word of God. You made people doubt whether or not the Bible had final authority, and you taught a bunch of students to go out and do the same in their churches. Get out of the way. Next, please. Yeah, PhD, DVD, HIV, and BVDs. Comes up here. Whoop, he's gone because he messed with the Bible. Not smart. Not smart. Then a little grandma comes up there and says, now, grandma, let's see what you did. Ah, you took those kids in your home and you helped them out when the drunkards people left them. And you helped them and you taught them the Bible was the Word of God. A couple of them even became preachers. Well done, good and faithful servant. You go over here, you're first. Dr. Reverend Wigglelips, you go stand over there. Next, please. Little fathers and moms and dads will come up to you and say, well, I just took care of my family and I tried to provide for their needs and love them and raise them the way the Bible said. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. It's what you have left at the judgment seat of Christ that's revealed. You come up there and you say, well, I didn't write any books and I didn't make any speeches and I didn't go to Colosseums and I didn't do all these things. I just tried to do my best for him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. We live for his pleasure to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. I played football in high school. I was played football on a high school team in Southern California. We were terrible. Absolutely terrible. It was a training camp for the 49ers, but it was terrible. Sorry. We got beat every game. Every game. And not just beat, we got whooped. I mean, we got a whooping. One of those games when we were down 4 or 5 touchdowns and just getting slaughtered. One of the guys ran on the team's exchange of defense and offense. And when they come on the field and I was out there, one of the guys said, "Hey, man, your dad and your brother's up in the stands watching." First game they got to come see me play. And I looked up in the stands till I found them, raised my helmet. Watch this. Put that down. Playing defense. I had to do something that play. They knew my number. They was ready. I had to do something that play. I was playing middle linebacker, and we take off on a play and sweep this way, and the offense is running a sweep. I'm running parallel to the line. Blockers are running into each other. I'm about to nail this halfback and make a good show for my dad and my elder brother. Some little skinny, stinky cornerback comes up and knocks him down. I ran all the way over there for nothing. So I hit the referee. Clean shot, too. Took him right. I mean, he didn't throw his flag because he was laying on the ground talking to God. But I made a good show. They knew it was me. But so we get up to do what we're supposed to do as a child of God, and we think, well, you know, who really knows and what really difference does it make? At the judgment seat of Christ, the day shall reveal it, the Bible. Everything will be made manifest because the day will reveal that. And at the judgment seat of Christ, what you'll have left is if you live for something of quality. Now, God uses the gold, silver, precious stones, not because he's talking about actual gold, actual silver, actual precious stones in your hands, because he builds heaven with that stuff, okay? Paves the streets with it, builds the walls with it. I mean, it's like going to God and holding up buckets of concrete and holding sheets of drywall. How valuable would that be? Well, today is a lot of money, but the truth of the matter is, it's not talking about actual gold. He's talking about things that are of value. Gold is something eternal. Silver is about truth. Psalm chapter 12, the word of God is a furnace. The word of God is like a silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Precious stones, he talks about his children being his precious jewels. He's talking about things that are eternal. People, truth, the word of God, ministry. At the judgment seat of Christ, what did we do for God? Did we serve him? Did we live for him? Did we give ourselves to people? Did we live for the truth of the word of God? That's gold, silver, and precious stone. Quantities are never mentioned, just quality here. Yeah, some will have more than others. God's not a communist. Okay? He wouldn't get involved in Occupy Reading. He's not a communist. Those people are communists. It's insane. God's a capitalist. He believes in investment on return. But he doesn't tell you gotta have more gold than this guy. That's not the issue. He's not materialistic. He's trying to tell us, just have some gold, some silver, some precious stones. Have some people's lives you've invested in. Have some truth that you stood for. Do something to help somebody get the gospel of Christ, ministry, serving, helping people. That's what it's all about. At the judgment seat of Christ, he says, this one's got gold, silver, and precious stone, and it's on the right foundation, and they did it for the right reason. Well done, good and faithful servant. So, Pastor Johnson, I'm a Christian. I've not lived much for the Lord in my life. May I encourage you with this thought? Get with it, pal. You hear me? We got enough laid-back, sloppy, agape, BB spitting, barking like a dog, clucking like a chicken, wave flag, waving Christianity today. It's time we got serious about this thing. These people want to run around and occupy banks when the truth of the matter is, they call it the Arab Spring. What they really need is Irish Spring. But the truth is, the truth is, they got this idea that somehow or another we need to be able to take things over. I'll tell you what we need to do. You and I today need to get up and walk out of this church building and say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to act like I'm better than anybody else, but I want to try to live the way the Lord wants me to live with my life because I want to please the one who loved me and gave his life for me. And at the judgment seat of Christ, he'll reveal all that stuff. And if you don't become the most popular person where you work, don't worry about it. I'd rather be popular there than here. I'd rather him say, well done, good and faithful servant, than some reprobate pat me on the back and tell me I was a nice guy and hand me a rainbow flag. I'd just rather do what God wants me to do. And I want him to be pleased with my life. I want to go to bed tonight and I want to pillow my head and say, I didn't do everything I know I should today, God, but I gave it my best shot. If you give me one more day, I'll get up tomorrow and I'll try again. At the judgment seat of Christ, many will receive rewards. And the Bible says, many suffer loss, yet they shall be saved. Yet so is by fire. In other words, they have to be examined first. That's not purgatory. There is no purgatory. Live today by the truths of God's word, and your life will be gold, silver, and precious stone. And you'll live with the judgment seat of Christ in mind. You won't live like, oh, no, I'm going to have to face the Lord. You'll live each day with, I'm trying to serve and honor him. I'll let God work all that stuff out. I'll let God reckon this thing out, and God will make known what's right and what's not, and God will make it right. And ladies and gentlemen, the day will reveal it. I'm looking at people here this morning. You're thinking, boy, I don't want to go to the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not what somebody else is. Well, God didn't make you like them. He made you. They comparing themselves by themselves among themselves are not wise. There's a little pastor in the Philippines. He's been blinded since he was a small child. He pastors two churches in the jungles. He goes from one church village to the other one, feeling his way through the jungle along the paths. When he gets to the edge of the village there where he pastors one of the churches, he'll feel his way along the walls, and maybe someone will come up to him and they'll lead him over to his church building, and he'll stand and preach, and when he's done, he'll feel his way back through the jungle to the other village and preach there. And he goes back and forth between these two villages, has been doing this for years now. My biggest concern is what's for lunch today. I go out and get in my car with a heater in it and drive to my house with a heater in it. I can't stand with a man like that and say I didn't do what he did. But see, God didn't put me in the Philippines. And God didn't take my eyesight. I can just do what Mike Johnson can do. That's all I can do. But I can do no less than that. And to do less is going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ. So let's do this morning. Let's just decide we're going to get on the program. We're going to do what God wants us to do with our lives. Stop living for the pleasure of ourselves and others. And start living for the pleasure of the God who loved us and gave us our salvation. And at the judgment seat of Christ, the day will manifest this thing. Everything will be revealed. And there'll be folks in this room, you'll leave the judgment seat of Christ and you'll be amazed that all those things you thought were so small were really big in his sight. And it mattered to him. And all you want to hear him say is, well done, good and faithful servant. My family that watched me that day at the football game said, did you hit the referee? Said, clean that boy right out of his cleats, man. Did you see that? I stand before the Lord one day, and I just want to, when I look into that thorn-scarred brow and that face, and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You can too. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.